This is The Guardian.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Whether it's bone broth, avocado toast, or that baked feta pasta from TikTok, there's always a new food trend around. But the one that's got everyone excited at the moment, well, you might be surprised.
I took my bagel recipe and made it with cottage cheese because cottage cheese is having a moment. And it came out perfect. Look at how beautiful this looks.
Yes, 70s diet culture is calling. Cottage cheese is back and bigger than ever. Why, you may ask, is that white lumpy stuff made from curdled milk popular again?
Cottage cheese is legit my superpower when it comes to hitting my protein goals.
So you're gonna get 15 grams of protein just from half a cup of cottage cheese alone?
Low carb, high protein, it's so cheesy, yummy, and so easy. It's literally one ingredient, so why not try it?
Cottage cheese is just the latest in a long line of products, powders, shakes, balls, and bars that feed our obsession with protein. The stuff that's supposed to help us get buff in the gym, feel full, and even, supposedly, lose weight. But why has protein become the it girl of macronutrients?
It's the nutrient of the year, right? Protein has got this halo, and people somehow think by consuming more, they'll have more energy, they'll live longer, they'll look better in the gym, and it's just not true.
How much of it do we actually need?
The average person is eating in excess.
And are there any risks from maxing out on your protein intake?
Extra protein's just going to make you fat.
From The Guardian, I'm Madeline Finlay, and this is Science Weekly.
I was babysitting for my grandson yesterday, and the only protein source I could find in their house was cottage cheese.
Joanne Slavin is a professor in the Department of Food Science and Nutrition at the University of Minnesota.
I know they are of the younger generation, so I always thought of it kind of as an old person food as a kid, and people would promote it for dieting. So it was never really stylish.
She's watched the rise in our obsession with protein. And the first thing I wanted to understand was exactly what protein is.
Remember, we need calories. So we really have three sources of calories: carbohydrates, fats, and protein. And so if we get some calories from protein, that's fine, but we need to get the amino acids to build our body protein. We absolutely have to get the RDA recommended dietary allowance for protein every day. There is no RDA for carbohydrates and fats. They're just energy sources. The thing to remember, too, is that we are mammals as humans. So the protein sources we eat, the ones that come from mammals or animals, fish, eggs, are much closer to the proteins we need or the amino acids we need. And when we look at protein quality, the egg is given a score of 1 or 100. And people are like, wait, this isn't fair. Why is the egg number 1? It's just because the egg is very high quality protein. You know, it is the amino acids that we need, and it's also highly digestible.
So we need the amino acids in the proteins we eat to build our own proteins in the body.
So when we eat a protein, so we just ate that egg, in the upper GI tract, we are going to take that protein and we're going to break it down into amino acids. And those amino acids are going to get absorbed in the small intestine, and then they're going to go out to the body through the liver And we will be able to make the proteins we need. There's protein in all of my cells that I'm going to have to build every day.
Okay, Joanne, if I take an average adult, what do the guidelines say about how much protein they should be getting per day?
Yeah, that's a really good question because it varies so much across the life cycle. But for an adult, 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram body weight. So we have a 70 kilogram reference person, and so that's 56 grams of protein. How does that translate into foods? Well, like a serving of dairy has 8. Most of the servings of meat or fish people are going to have up to like 20 or 15 grams of protein. So it's not that hard to get. Bodybuilders, if you ever hang out with a bodybuilder, they've got it down. So it's 10 to 35% of your calories. And when people hear that number, especially engineers or an accountant, how can you recommend nutritionists 10 to 35% of your calories as protein? That seems ridiculous. That's the biggest range that I've ever heard. And the reason that is if I'm on a low calorie diet, so I'm trying to lose weight or I have minimal calories, then a higher percentage of those calories have to come from protein. But on the other hand, people are eating larger portions than they need to. So it's not that hard to get there. Anybody who is eating a ton of calories, they are going to get enough protein because it's going to come along for the ride. So the average person in the UK, the average person in the US gets more than enough protein.
So most of us, without thinking too much about it, will be eating more than our recommended daily allowance, the amount we need to prevent a deficiency. But there are times in our lives when we should be thinking about getting more protein, and not just if we take up bodybuilding.
Babies, their body weight is much smaller. So a baby needs 2 grams of protein per kilogram body weight. Remember, during growth and development, kids, they're making more proteins, but we all lose muscle with time. Hopefully you're in your 30s, so you can pretty much build muscle up to that point. And after that, even if you exercise well and eat perfectly, we're going to lose muscle. But as we live to an older age, we want to slow down that muscle loss. And now we're realizing that elderly people, a lot of times because of cost or taste or just a lack of interest in food, they are not getting high quality proteins throughout the day. So working with older people and saying it's incredibly important for your health to make sure you are taking in high quality proteins that you like, and that will slow down your muscle loss and you'll be less likely to fall or end up in a nursing home if we can keep your muscles strong and your body strong.
Joanne, what about these sort of special diets that people who are really keen on fitness are often on? You know, the high protein diets that still keep calories low. Is more protein better? Or are there diminishing returns on those shakes, the chicken, the balls, the bars, or, even risks to over-consuming protein to that degree?
We don't have an upper limit where they say, hey, don't ever consume more than this many grams of protein. But I think what you will find is that it doesn't make any sense to overconsume it, and we don't need it, and it's expensive, and it's not sustainable. And proteins and amino acids have nitrogen in them, and carbohydrates and fats do not. If we have extra protein, we're going to metabolize those amino acids similar to carbohydrates and fat to burn those, for the energy we need, but we're going to have to get rid of that nitrogen. And that goes out as urea in urine. So even though we can't prove, hey, if you ate just a ridiculous amount of protein, that there's harm, we know that the kidneys have to work to dump that urea and nitrogen out. They're functioning like crazy, and so there's no reason to overtax the kidneys. So if you're just eating so much protein that you don't need, you're just getting extra calories you don't need. So that's for sure. I think a lot of consumers assume that protein will go to muscle. And protein does not go to muscle when you have extra protein.
So what do you make of all of these protein-based products then?
The advantage of those products is as long as they're isolated and taking out the compounds that are getting in the way of digestibility, you can get very high protein quality metrics on that, and they can be used in supplements. The frustrating thing, this is so hard in nutrition, is that the average person in a Western society, the last thing they need is a protein shake. I mean, come on, if they're eating protein at every meal, they're good to go. People that are out on the golf course taking in protein shakes, absolutely a waste of money, a waste of time, and they're just going to get fat doing it.
One of the challenges of modern diets is considering not just what's good for us, but also what's good for the planet. And while meat and dairy are great sources of quality protein, they're not great for carbon emissions. Sustainability is something that Joanne thinks about a lot.
I spend a lot of time trying to explain to people that there is no perfect protein source. You know, we can get it from plant products, we can get it from animal products, we can get it from fish, we can get it from insects. We also need to consider cost because, you know, protein sources are really very expensive. When we have malnutrition around the world, malnutrition is generally protein and energy together. Those of us that live in a world where we have so much protein, we don't need any more. We need to think about everyone around the world and this idea of getting calories to people. But within those calories, high quality protein is the number one thing to think about.
So if we do cut down on our animal products, how do we do that while keeping up on our protein?
Grains, rice, things like that do provide protein in them. Oatmeal or any type of thing like that, but they tend to be pretty low quality proteins. We wouldn't want you to go on it forever and live on just one alone. Vegetables provide some protein too, especially starchy vegetables. So potatoes, we don't think of them as great protein sources. They don't have that much protein, but the protein is pretty high quality. Beans, nuts, seeds and legumes, pulses, as long as you get enough calories. Soy as a plant food is one of the highest quality proteins that are out there. And, you know, you can absolutely be a vegetarian, you can be a vegan. It's just a little harder. But I am glad as we're moving to more plant-based diets, which I'm a huge proponent of because I'm a fiber person and that's really my ace in the hole here. I work fiber, the fiber show every day of my life. But as we move away from animal products, we are moving away from high quality proteins. And for consumers to understand, especially for kids and growth and development, we want to make sure that there's high quality protein and there's enough there. But in nutrition, we always say, remember, guys, it's moderation and variety. Variety is the spice of life. And that's absolutely true on the protein world.
Joanne, when so many foods do contain protein and it's not actually that hard to get enough, even as a vegan, why do you think we've ended up in this place where we're so obsessed with it? Is it just that we've decided as a culture that fats are bad, carbs are bad, and this is the only thing left that hasn't been demonized in some way?
Every nutrient has its time in the barrel. So you're right. We beat up fats and we beat up carbohydrates. And, you know, I always tell this to my class. I teach advanced human nutrition and say, hey, guys, this is the way it works. Number one, you got to have water within 2 days. But after water, if you were in the guessing game to say, what do I need next? It is protein. So I'm happy that protein has kind of come up to the top, because even on the nutrition facts panel in the US, protein gets one line, while fats, we have like 6 lines of fat information and probably 5 lines of carbohydrate information. And it is part of it because we don't need more of it, right? It's not a nutrient of concern. I'm glad that people have gotten interested in it, but I think there's so much confusion. So therefore, they're overdoing, they're consuming more and more. So we need people to eat fewer calories. And when they do that, we want to make sure that those are higher quality protein sources. So it's kind of tough with all these moving parts to, you know, to say this is the perfect diet. But, you know, we always say in nutrition, it's habits and it's enjoying your food. You know, so if you're on these special diets that are basically difficult and you don't have any friends, you're not eating with your family and enjoying your food, what's the point anyway?
Well, Joanne, it's been fascinating. And I'm not going to lie, I'm absolutely starving now, having heard you talk about all these delicious foods. And it will be no surprise to our listeners at all that I've got some tofu in the fridge that I'm now going to go and eat with some vegetables for the fibre as well. So, Joanne, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And thanks for bringing this message out. I really appreciate it.
My thanks again to Professor Joanne Slavin. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Madeline Finley. It was sound designed by Tony Onochuku. And the executive producer is Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Tuesday. See you then.
Politics can seem quite loud at the moment.
Shut up a minute!
And sometimes even a bit incomprehensible.
They talked about ferrets so much that I was not even able to speak.
To help cut through the noise, Politics Weekly UK is introducing new episodes with me, Pippa Carrera, The Guardian's political editor, and our political correspondent, Kieran Stacey. We'll be bringing you all the insight you need from Westminster to kick off your week. Join us this Sunday, where we'll be chewing over the fallout from the local elections. Subscribe to Politics Weekly UK, wherever you get your podcasts, for a new episode every Monday.
This is The Guardian.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.